the desires we feel in our bodies are not always good for our bodies. The desires we feel in our flesh are not always good for our flesh. We know that this is true from our own experience. If we think simply of our hunger for food, we know that our bodies need food to grow and to survive. But the problem is that sometimes what we want to eat are things that are not good for us. Or perhaps we want food that is good, but we want too much of it, or too little of it, or we want it at the wrong times. We know this. We know that our body's desires for food are not always correctly aimed. And there is an entire weight loss industry that is built upon this fact, that the desires of our flesh will sometimes lead us in ways that are not good, not healthy for even our flesh itself. And we need to realize when we hear St. Paul speak about the flesh and the spirit, it is not a matter of hating our bodies or believing that they are bad. Not at all. The Lord created us as bodily creatures, and everything He made is good. And our Lord Jesus took on a true human body when He was made man, and He has that body still, transformed in the resurrection. Our bodies are good. And if we follow our Lord Jesus' direction, we love them. We want what is truly good for our bodies. The problem is that sometimes our bodies desire things that are not good for them. It was not this way in the beginning. For when the Lord created our first human parents, and He found it was very good, then the desires of our flesh were all perfectly attuned to our true good. Then, during that brief time, they did not lead us astray, but they led us directly toward what we needed for true health. But when Adam and Eve rebelled against God and broke their harmony with Him, then they also broke the harmony within themselves as a result of that original sin and its consequences. The desires of our flesh became somewhat warped, so that sometimes they still lead us right, but sometimes they lead us wrong, ever since then. And so we know clearly when it comes to eating that we need to apply our intellect to learn the truth about what is good for us to eat, and also to apply our will, so that we are not simply dragged around by whatever our bodily desires are telling us at that moment, but rather we govern and direct our desires into line with what is truly good for us. Now, this is not what advertisers want us to hear, for they know that if you remain enslaved by a bodily desire, and if that desire hooks you into their product, well, then you are enslaved to them. And you will happily keep handing over to them your money. They call this freedom. They say, do what you feel. Come, give us your money. What burden, what slavery that creates. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Those desires of the flesh that were created good but became warped by the fall of man, so that they are now a mixture of good and bad, so that they now sometimes lead us to what is right and sometimes to what is wrong. We've seen what they look like in food and drink, but how often are we led astray, not only into weight gain or eating disorders, but into substance abuse, becoming addicted to alcohol, nicotine, or illegal drugs. We know that our bodies need clothing or shelter, but how often does this true need become warped into seeking something extravagant, something that is vanity, an end in itself that ends up burdening us and others? We know that we need to defend ourselves against physical threats. But what happens when we become afraid of what is good for us, or when we are paralyzed by fear so that we cannot defend ourselves? or when we close ourselves off in isolation, or when we become overly aggressive, attacking others beyond what is necessary to defend. We know that we need human love, but what happens when we debase ourselves in looking for it, or when we use and manipulate others, or when we misuse our bodies and our technologies so that we shatter our lives and others' lives into fragments in the very opposite of love? This is how the desires of the flesh have become warped from what was truly good for the body into something else. And when these warped desires are then built into social systems, cultural systems, legal and governmental systems, then we have what Scripture sometimes calls the world. We sometimes call it the rat race or dog-eat-dog, where only the strong, the smart, the rich, the beautiful can win, where groups of people will band together to threaten, coerce, or seduce anything to stay afloat, constantly afraid that they will fall from the height they are at, constantly striving, constantly burdened, constantly pretending, lest they become one of the weak, small, unattractive, to be rejected, excluded, and exploited. What happens when the desires of the flesh get written into the system of the world is depressing. What happens when pride, lust, anger, and gluttony become a system? And yet this is what shapes our lives. It was true thousands of years ago, and it is true now. It shapes where we live, what we possess, who in our family works and where and for how long, and how we raise our children, preparing them to take on this same burden, this same slavery, this labor. And Jesus still says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." St. Paul wrote to us right before today's reading, "For the concern of the flesh, that beloved good flesh, but with its warped desires, the concern of the flesh is hostility toward God. It does not submit to the law of God, nor can it, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Brothers and sisters," he continues, "we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body," notice it's not put to death the body, but put to death the deeds of the body, "you will live." And so St. Paul tells us, as Pope John Paul II would say centuries later, "Become what you are. Christ has freed you from this. Do you live as people who have been freed from these desires of the flesh? Or have you slipped back into that slavery, that burden?" It is a blessing to ourselves to walk in Christ's way, and it is a blessing to others. A little later in that same letter, St. Paul writes, "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect." Brothers and sisters, this weekend the United States celebrates its independence, and we have opportunity to give thanks for the blessings that we have received within this nation. But like our bodies, like the rest of the world system, so too with this nation, with these United States. We love it, and because we love it, we need to be ready to call it away from those of its desires and tendencies that are truly harmful to it and contrary to the will of God. For in the midst of the world, as the Second Vatican Council reminded us, Christ called together a people made up of Jew and Gentile, making them one, not according to the flesh, but in the Spirit. this new people of God, the church, does not actually include all men, and at times may look like a small flock. Yet it is nonetheless a lasting and sure seed of unity, hope, and salvation for the whole human race. It is founded upon Christ and is used by Him as an instrument for the redemption of all, and is sent forth into the whole world as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So the council tells us, may this be true of this parish at this time, that in Christ we have been freed, that in Christ we live as the light of the world and the salt of the earth, truly a city upon a hill that cannot be hidden.